Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev.
Are we still celebrating?
I think so. England finally brought it home.
By the way, if people don't know what we're talking about, which you should do, but there are people that listen to us elsewhere in the world who might not be aware, that the Women's Euros culminated in the final at Wembley yesterday, England against Germany, and England came out on top.
Yeah, it was quite tense towards the end, though. But
it's very tense. So I've been getting more and more into it as the tournament's gone on, but I didn't think I was going to get quite so emotional about it at the end.
I know. I mean, when Germany equalised towards the end and with only a few minutes left, it looked like, oh my God, it's England, Germany in penalties. We all know how this goes.
I had to turn off for the last 10 minutes of normal time because I thought this 10 minutes is too tense. I'm going to turn over for 10 minutes, record what's going on and then watch it, but fast forward through it. So if Germany score, I don't have to live through it.
And then you do that?
No, it was too tense. I was getting too stressed about it. And I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll just watch some other shit for 10 minutes and then record. This is what I do when I watch football. If it gets to a point where I can't bear it. And I did sit through all of extra time. I mean, it was nerve-wracking and I was on the edge of my seat.
That's such a bizarre way to enjoy a live event. It really is.
No, I can't. I get too stressed because Germany were on top at that point and I just thought, oh, we've got 10 minutes to go. And I saw another Germany goal coming and I thought, I don't know if I can sit through this 10 minutes. So I bottled for 10 minutes but I managed to get myself up and going for extra time. I didn't miss another minute of the game, but
as much as I enjoyed, you know, the whole game, I did say to myself, the last 5 minutes, could we not win in a better way than just corner hogging to waste time? I'd never like to see anyone do that.
That's good game management, though. I was thinking, keep it there. There was one attack where I got a little bit annoyed because there was a chance to get into the penalty area and she went back. And I was thinking, oh, we could have finished it. But, you know, you give away the ball, they get you on the counter. Then you wouldn't be saying that if they'd equalised in the last couple of minutes, would you?
I suppose not.
Keep it in the corner.
It just because the commentators were getting all excited, which, you know, rightly so. But they were making out like the last 5 minutes were the most tense. And I thought, well, it's kind of annoying to watch, actually, the very last 5 minutes. But no, I get it. You have to do it.
Yeah, no, it was superb. But I love the way they celebrated. I mean, we were saying last week about how wholesome this tournament's felt with the crowd's behaviour being so much better. In general, the players behaving better. And just the unbridled joy of it all was so, it just felt so wholesome, didn't it? It felt like it was all so pure.
I must admit, I enjoyed it more than the men's games, because you'd been watching the whole thing. I really only tuned in for the final. Complete armchair fan over here.
Yeah.
But you are right. There's obviously still some of that, you know, I won't say diving, but let's say exaggerating and prima donna stuff going on. But it's not half as bad as in the men's game.
Well, I'd not seen much of it at all throughout the tournament. There was a little bit in the final, but not much. I mean, I don't remember anything that I thought, well, that's prima donna-like.
And there was especially in the first half, there was quite a bit of argy-bargy going on. It was like,
I don't mind that, a little bit of argy-bargy. Did you see Jill Scott towards, I don't know what, I think it might have been extra time, where it did get a little bit tense, and you could just see her going, oh, fuck off, you fucking prick.
Yeah, I don't think you needed to be a lip-reading expert to work that one out.
I thought, good on you, that shows how much it means. Shows how much it means. I mean, I'm not saying that language should be encouraged, but it did make me laugh.
It was quite funny. There was one thing that really confused me for a second. One of the Germans...
They were women, Ben.
What did I say?
You're confused. I was just saying, oh, they were women, Ben.
I thought I said something horribly sexist for a second. No, one of the German substitutes came running on with a note given to her from the manager. And she was sort of passing it to the relevant teammates so they could get the instructions. But all the English ladies were trying to look over her shoulder and read the notes. And I thought, it's a good chance it's written in German.
Yeah, but I saw one player do that. And I thought, that's brilliant mind games. I mean, it could be that English player can read German, right? But just to sort of do that, it reminded me of that time, I've told you the story before, at rugby at school, when I just said to everyone, whenever you get the ball, just shout fruit. It'll make them think we've got a system. You know, so if you think that the opposition has seen that bit of paper and they know exactly what you've what you've instructed your team to do. That little bit of mind games, I thought that was clever.
A friend of mine also sent me a screen grab of the female German player running on to the pitch with the note in her hand with the caption, milk, eggs.
I know, I thought that was very sexist.
Washing pods. Yeah, I was so disappointed in him.
I saw one today that was better because it showed the woman running on with a note and then a close-up of a note just said, it's coming home. Well, that was a less sexist one, Ben.
Far less.
My friends seem to have embraced the women's game, unlike your dinosaur friends who are still living in the past. Do you know what I didn't know? And I should have known this. That women were banned by the FA until the 70s. I knew that they'd been banned. I didn't realise it was till that recent.
No, there are a lot of... I think that would make quite an interesting subject for a future podcast. Things that were banned until surprisingly recently.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I knew that... because I mean, it's a weird thing that during the... was it during the first... or Second World, I think it was during the First World War, women's football became huge because there weren't men to play the game. And then the moment the war was over and the sort of those men that did survive come home, the FA just went, right, that's it, we're banning women's football. Why? It's ridiculous. It's just, oh God. Anyway, it's great. It was just superb. I've watched a bit of the celebrations today in Trafalgar Square. I think the girls had quite a heavy night, but who can blame them for that?
You're the second person I've heard saying this. Did they all look absolutely hungover?
No. Well, they were all, a lot of them I saw wearing very dark glasses. I thought there's a bit Fair of enough. A clue. And I did see an interview with, I forget who it was, one of the Arsenal players. They just asked, how are you feeling? They went, yeah, okay. Well, good on you. Just amazing, amazing scenes. The other thing that surprised me, I did see a little bit more of it in the final. You know when they go take cameras around places? Normally in Box Park in Croydon, they've got a camera there to get fans' responses.
Yes, yeah. I always get very cross when they cut to those scenes, especially when England score and there's just beer going everywhere.
Well, I was going to say, did you notice that there was very little beer going up in the air? There was a bit in the semi-finals, they showed Box Park in Croydon, not one bit of beer spilt when a goal was scored.
Is that to do with the price increases?
It could be. I'm not wasting beer on it. I'm
not wasting a drop of this now.
But no, I don't know why that I thought that's an extraordinary thing. Again, a difference in the crowd's reactions. I'm not wasting alcohol on a goal.
I think when there's still time left, I think it, I don't know, you don't want to celebrate too quickly, too early, do you?
Well, I suppose lessons learned over the years, I suppose.
Yes, yeah, keep it calm because there's nothing like scoring a goal, getting all, you know, celebratory and not concentrating in the next 30 seconds and then losing it again.
Yeah. Now, here's my question about it. A question I've been battling with a little bit all day in my own mind.
Okay.
So, wonderful achievement, right? It's just, I can't express how happy I am about it. But can we say that football has entirely come home until the men's team replicate this success? We can't wipe away the years of failure on the men's side because of this, can we? We can embrace this and enjoy it and celebrate it, and quite rightly we should. But I heard someone say today, should we now put the song Three Lions on a shirt, you know, all those years of hurt, should we put that to bed? So I don't think we can yet.
Oh, you're walking me down a misogynistic minefield here.
Well, I'll see what your friend thinks, shall we? Yes, of course. They should all be back in the kitchen now that they've won it. I hope they've washed the trophy.
I don't know. It'll be nice if there was ever an occasion when both in the same year the men and the women could win it together.
Well, we could. We were so close last year. I mean, it could have happened.
I know.
I was thinking about your Scouser last week. You know, hey, we'll show those ladies will show those men of 66. Do you think he meant the men of 2020?
What? No, because he was quite adamant.
It was 66.
And also, something else after we recorded that I listed the myriad number of reasons that was wrong and confusing. Yeah. I think I forgot the fact that the women were playing in the Euros and that was a reference to the World Cup.
Yes. But that's been playing on my mind all week. I thought, I wonder if he meant the men of, I said 2020, but obviously it was played in 2021, but yeah, Euro 2020. But
he said 66.
Yeah, well, that still makes no sense then. That's right.
Yes, if he'd said 2021, that would have made all kinds of sense.
Yeah, yeah. But he didn't.
No.
The man's a fucking moron.
I'm hoping I don't ever see him again, because he'll probably start talking to me again.
Well, no, I'd like you to meet him again, because I'd like to get his post-match analysis. I mean, I think that would be quite interesting, because he's a Scouser. He'd think he'd know everything about football. Because, you know, it's like a religion in Liverpool, isn't it? If you ever see a Scouser on the telly, it's like the first thing they'll tell you is which club they support. It's like they can't help it. It's like a Tourette's. Hey, I'm from Liverpool. I'm blue, by the way. All right, mate. I didn't ask. Yeah, but, you know, if I don't tell you, it might cause a problem later. I've lost the accent a little bit.
You've wandered off towards the end there. I don't mind if he wants to talk to me again, I suppose. He's quite a gold mine of content, so maybe, no, maybe I'll try and find him.
Was he just randomly on your route, or do you go to his house?
He's someone who works for a very posh building I go to once a day, so I have seen him a couple of times before.
Oh, you must make a point of seeing him. I'd like next week to hear what he thought of it, or in the end.
I'll try and track him down. I can't guarantee anything, but I'll try my best.
Did you celebrate? Did you have a drink to celebrate? Did you do anything?
I didn't. I just sort of I watched the. I almost said the girls. Then is that allowed? Because I would have said, if the England lot had done it, I'd have said I watched the boys lift the trophy.
Yeah,
are you allowed to say the girls?
Well, yeah, I think it's all right. I mean,
I watched the Lionesses lift the trophy.
Yeah, let's stick with Lionesses. Yeah.
Oh. One word away from being cancelled here. And then have a good party. I watched a couple of attempts at interviewing them, which was quite funny while they were all having a dance.
There was a brilliant bit where I think it was the goal scorer, wasn't it?
Yes, she
just started singing Sweet Caroline in the middle of the interview and fucked off. I thought that's brilliant. It's brilliant. Again, I love that kind of rawness. It's like perhaps there's been slightly less media training, because if that had been a male footballer, they'd be going through it. I'd be going, oh, I mean, it's amazing, you know, well done to the opposition. Just want to say how much respect we've got for them. The girls just going, Sweet Caroline. Good on you.
Now, so after that, I watched them lift the trophy for about 5 minutes, and then I... sort of went on with my day, really. Oh. No big party. What about you?
Well, no, because I might have had a drink to celebrate, but I'd had quite a heavy night the night before, and I'm an old man now, so drinks 2 days running is just not possible. I went out on Saturday, right, with my mates. It's actually my football prediction group, right? We meet up. I mean, this was our kind of end of season meetup, but a bit late. And we met in this great place in London Bridge. It was like a German beer hall type place. And
a German beer hall in London?
A London Bridge, yes.
Was it called Cats and Jammers?
No, it's called it's got a weird name, the Bermondsey Beer Kellen or something like that.
Okay.
It's right by London Bridge Station.
Sorry, that was just I was just having a little chat with you there for a second. I thought we had a listener.
Yeah, you thought we were recording.
Carry on.
We've got so few listeners. It normally is just like a chat with you. This is basically a phone call we have every week, isn't it? Just see how our week's gone. And we just happen to record it and put it out.
Yeah, it's great.
So we went to this place, but about 10 o'clock, it sort of turned into a nightclub. And I mean, I am generally a grumpy old man these days. I am becoming increasingly grumpy. I don't really know how to solve this. I'm approaching 45 in a few weeks' time, and I can feel there's definitely been a switch somewhere where I've become, like, grumpy has become the main setting. Like, in the past, I've always had a grumpy switch. And it's often been on grumpy. Well, my setting's often been on grumpy. But there's been occasions where it switches to joy. And I'm finding that increasing. It's like I've tried oiling the switch. It's just not moving. I'm just constantly grumpy, right?
So what was it tipped you over the edge?
Two things. There were games going on. And I just thought, like, I'm not on an 18-30 holiday. I don't need to see people doing games with balloons. And the woman that was doing it, she was like shouting. It was so fucking loud. And I was thinking, I just felt like I was having to shout to my mate to talk to him. He was sitting opposite me at the table and I was having to shout. And I was thinking, oh, just turn it down a bit. You know, I mean,
I knew the volume would be a problem.
My mate won a dancing competition. He was up on the bench dancing to YMCA and got a free pint. He was that good at the dancing. So it wasn't, you know, the rest of my friends seemed very happy with the situation, but I was thinking, just turn it down. This is ridiculously loud. And the woman that was doing it, apparently it was her first evening hosting this I'm going to put this inverted commas, this fun bit of the evening. I mean, she doesn't need to be shouting. She's got a microphone. Just talk to me. You know, no need to be shouting.
I know, but if you shout, it sort of suggests a sense of fun and, you know, we're all having a great time.
Yeah, it was a little bit like that. I mean, I say, my friends seemed to be enjoying it a lot more, than I was. It's been a very nice evening up to that point where I was thinking, oh, Jesus Christ, I left.
Do you not think you left?
I left. Some of them didn't get home until 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I was pushing my old man boundaries getting home at midnight.
I got home. Think, by the
I
way,
got home just before it turned midnight. Otherwise, I think I would have turned into a miserable pumpkin.
I was just wondering, did any of you or your friends notice it was a little bit strange to win a prize for a song to dance to, which has set dance moves, which everyone must have been doing? I mean, presumably at the Y, everyone was doing the Y.
I think it was about the energy and the commitment, because my mate was very committed to the dance. I mean, it was quite a sight.
Was the balloon game where you have to shove a balloon in, you know, right up your legs in between your crotch and sort of pass it on to someone?
No, I, to be honest, I wasn't really watching. I just looked round a couple of times and I don't know if it was passing balloons. There was just a lot of screaming and a lot of squeaking of balloons, a couple of pops. And I thought, I'll just, everyone's, can we just sit down, turn the music off and let's just have a nice chat? That's what I'm thinking.
It's a great game.
Let's turn it down a little bit.
Because, you try and pass the balloon from your groin to a stranger's groin. And if
what sort of places do you go to, Ben?
I don't know. I've seen this game done all over the place. And then, occasionally the balloon will slip away and you've accidentally committed sexual assault. And everyone has a great time.
Yeah, I got a feeling that game might be banned these days. Because I don't think, this didn't seem to be a groinal game. I think this might have been more upper body involvement rather than I think games involving strangers and nether regions are banned these days. I don't think this is a typical sexist thinking.
Going to the right places.
Yeah. But your mate would know them all. Going, well, that's where you need to go if you want to live in the 80s. where the sexual morals were those of an alley cat.
I'll let him know.
I had a message this week from our old mate Danny.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just say he's not had a great week.
Oh, no.
First of all, he's got a mouse or mice in the house. So he knows that I've been there. So he was, I think, looking for some sort of consolation about the mouse problem, because he's not a fan of mice. He's quite happy to admit that they scare the living shit out of him. And he set out loads of traps. I've said to him, the thing is, traps, like I find traps, you do catch them, you know, I still think traps are a good idea, but they are crafty sods, right? I've got two traps down at the moment and there's no bait left on them. The traps haven't gone off. So somewhere a mouse is getting in, eating the bait and then pissing off again. Like, I don't know whether they've learned how to take the bait from a trap without setting it off.
Could you lace the bait with poison?
The problem then is the chances are a mouse is going to die somewhere in the house, then you've got to find it. So then you've got that to deal with. I think a trap, at least a trap's a clean death generally, if you get them.
Yeah, okay.
And I did have that one that was caught in it and was running around with the trap stuck to it that time.
Like it had been clamped.
It was like it was running around with a trap caravan. and the noise it was making. I did release that one in the garden because then there's the question, when you get to that point, I mean, it wasn't hurt, right? It just caught its tail, so it wasn't injured. And I can't bring myself to kill the mouse. So I released it into the garden. It probably came back in. And I don't know whether you get to that point. Like when I first had mice, the whole thing of killing them in the trap and having to deal with it. Now it's a bit kind of, I'm a bit blasé about it. You know, the more I kill, the better. And disposing of them, no problem. But if I have to actually dispatch, I don't think I could do that.
This does not sound like how serial killers get started. You know, struggle with the first one, then get a taste for it. Yeah. And then 10 in, it's just no problem anymore.
Maybe that's what I'm worried about. If I started dispatching them manually myself, I could get a taste for killing. And maybe I'm just a bit, I know that that's a possibility, so I don't even go there, you know. I've seen my dad dispatch a mouse before, and I was glad he did it, but it wasn't pleasant.
No, I bet it wasn't.
Because it ran out, and my dad, he was pretty quick, but he just stamped on it.
Ooh.
I mean, it was a clean kill.
That's a grisly way to go.
Yeah, but it's probably no different than a trap snapping your neck. Anyway, he's got mice. I did suggest he get a cat, but he's allergic to cats, so there's an issue. The other thing I did think, because my brother, he's had mice, and he bought this this spray. Apparently, mice don't like the smell of peppermint.
Now, I've heard all sorts of rubbish, not about mice, but about spiders. They don't like the smell of conkers.
Bring that because we are reaching spider season.
And it's all bollocks. It's all a complete myth. They don't give a shit. Just the first Google search here for you. Peppermint oil and mice.
Yeah.
It will make your home smell good, but it certainly won't get rid of your unwanted lodgers.
Right. Okay, well, I won't tell about that.
Quite a cute way of putting it, yeah, unwanted
it's
lodger.
I mean, have you ever heard of those? I think my brother had one at one point. These things that put out like a high-pitched noise, like you can't hear it.
But it's called a mosquito.
A mosquito, is that what it's called?
You can get, seriously, I'm not joking, you can get versions of them for teenagers.
For teenagers?
Yeah, shopkeepers who don't want teenagers hanging outside their shops will get these things called mosquitoes.
Right.
I don't know if the animal repellents are also called mosquitoes, but the ones for children definitely are. The thinking behind it is that as you get older and older, your ears get less able to hear very high-pitched frequencies.
Right.
So they play these very high-pitched frequencies that won't bother the adults, but the kids will want to get nowhere near it. As a postie, my job, a lot of people do the same thing to get foxes off their lawns.
Right.
And it's fucking annoying because I'm just lucky enough to be just about young enough to still be able to hear it. So the odd person's lawn, I'll walk up to the garden path to get to their front door and I'll hear this ear-screeching, piercing noise. Really annoying.
Wow, I didn't know shopkeepers use them, but I don't know if they really... As I say, I'm sure my brother had one of those. That didn't seem to get rid of the mice. Because again, they must get used to it. If a mouse gets used to your house, nothing's going to put it off.
So what, if any, useful advice do we have for Danny?
I think you've just got to be patient. It's got to be the killer traps.
Can I say that's awful advice?
No, I'm still giving it.
That is the worst.
You wouldn't
advice.
Interrupt an old sage that you've travelled miles to visit in a cage just after the first sentence.
I had a rat problem in my house.
Yeah.
Now, I'd say that's considerably worse than a mouse problem. I had a rat problem.
But were they in the house?
Not inside the house.
Well, Ben, it's not quite as bad, is it?
But leaving them alone, patience... We did leave in patience for a day or two thinking, well, maybe it was a coincidence. Right. And then we had a bit of patience and then suddenly there was bloody loads of them. And if we had left them, then the house would be overrun with them. So terrible advice.
Then let me ask you this, though. In your very short period of patience, I'm not saying just sit back and do anything. If you've laid the traps, I'm saying you have to be patient. You've got to keep rebaiting because it might take the bait without it going off. Patience is definitely the key. If you get someone in, all they're going to do is put traps down. You're already doing that. Block up any holes with steel wool.
Are you an expert in locating where the holes are? Because the pesticide guy we called out, yes, he did put down poison, but he was also very quick to identify where they were getting in, where they were getting out. Rats have... rat runs. Sort of fastest route of travel from A to B. And he was very quick to block all that up. That you're paying for expertise, not just poison.
Look, listen to me. I'm a man of several years mice experience.
Right.
I mean, you could argue that I haven't solved the problem.
No, you haven't helped at all. You've just been a bit philosophical and just unhelpful completely.
What I've done is I've given up. I've just allowed the mice to be part of my living arrangements.
Well, you see, if you end up doing that, you'll end up living like Trev with a house full of the mice.
Well, it's not full. It's not full of mice. I see the odd one. I haven't seen one for a good 2 or 3 months now. Have no evidence apart from the bait going off the trap. But I don't think it's, it pops up from somewhere under the floorboards, has a bit of peanut butter off the traps and buggers off again. It's part of the family now.
So all you're doing is feeding them. My advice would be get an expert. That would be my advice.
All right, Danny, it's going to cost you £700 to get rent a killing. I'm sure Ben will help towards the costs. Anyway, so luckily Danny's wife will deal with any on the traps if any are caught.
Okay.
I don't know if she knows that, but Danny's told me that's what's going to happen. So that's part one of his week. Part two of his week. Now, Danny's a very good plasterer.
Right.
And he went to a job this week. And as he got to the job, there was a woman putting out the bins. And she said, "Oh, you're here to fix the ceiling. Oh, that's great." And Danny looked at his notes and it said, "Fix ceiling." So it all looked to match. So he went in and he got working all morning. He was probably whistling away, doing his bit of plastering, right? And a few hours in, he got a phone call. It was the office. And they went, "Where are you? You've not turned up for that job." And he went, "No, I'm here now."
Oh,
and
no.
And they went, "Number 63, right?" He went, "Oh, hang on." Went out and looked at the door. He was at 61. He'd been working in the wrong house all morning.
How did he get access to the neighbour's house?
I'll read you what he says, right? He says, "I read the notes and it said kitchen ceiling repair. I didn't check the door number, but as I walked from the van to the house looking for the house, the woman was in the garden putting the bins out and said, 'Oh, you're here to repair my kitchen ceiling.' So I just thought they knew I was coming and it was the right house. I just walked in and started. The penny didn't drop until the office rang."
Wow.
And the tenant was on the phone saying that he hadn't arrived. So it must have been the woman must have been from the wrong house. So whether she was expecting someone as well.
This is so strange. Or she's barricaded herself in the spare room on the phone to the police. "There's a plaster in my kitchen. Help."
No, I mean, I'm assuming that perhaps it did need some work doing. I mean, she's out of touch because she's now got a new ceiling. And Danny has promised to go back later and decorate it for her. I thought, oh, what a mistake to make. But we've all been there. We've all made mistakes at work. I mean, that's a particularly bad one.
I must admit, Danny. I've made a very, very, very similar mistake many years ago now when I was a teenager looking for a few quid. I was down my local pub and I sort of let it be known to someone that I was looking for a bit, you know, odd job here and there.
Mm.
And he said, "Well, you're playing pool, don't you?" And I said, "Well, yeah." And he said, "Well, the pool room could do with a lick of paint." And this guy was, you know, had some authority in the pub. And he said, "You know, if you do us a favour and give the walls a coat and the ceiling a coat, I'll give you a bit of money for it."
Nice.
"Cash in hand. Yeah. Don't worry about it. And I'll provide you the paint as well." I said, "Oh, brilliant. Okay. Yeah, I'm up for it. Cheers." And he gave me my instructions. This colour for the, you know, red for the walls and, you know, white for the ceiling. And he said, "There'll be plenty." So I started doing red for the walls. And suddenly, I had plenty of spare paint for the ceiling when I finished that. But suddenly, I'd run out of red for the walls. And I gave him a call and I said, "I'm nearly done, but I still got a couple of walls to do. You haven't given me half as much red. I thought you said you'd do it." He said, "What?"
"Oh, what have you done, Ben?"
And he came in. And you know what I've done before I even finish the story. I've painted them the wrong way around, haven't I?
So, you idiot.
Well, you're more polite than he was. he called me an effing C.
Did he?
Yeah. And then he did. I think he still paid me out of sympathy, but he didn't let me finish the job.
Oh, you didn't finish the job?
He got someone else to come in and correct it.
Did he get it wrong when he was giving you the instructions? Did you mishear?
No, he got it right because he was very clear on what he wanted.
Wanted red for the ceiling.
Yes, and on the short walk from his instructions into the pool room, I obviously hadn't been paying attention and just started painting and assumed I was getting it right.
Wow. You didn't think to check. You didn't sort of... Because was there a moment where you walked in? Because, you know, like, we've all done that where someone's been giving you some instructions and you've not really been listening. Was there a moment where you got in there and thought, "Oh, I'm not really sure what I said, I better go and check"? Or did you think, "Well, no, it must be red for the walls"? I mean, who's going to paint the ceiling red?
Well, I don't know. It's all very strange. But, I mean, I think it probably didn't help that I made, because it was my local and it wasn't exactly an official job and it was all cash in hand, and I didn't really care.
It sounds very illegal, this, Ben, from the start.
I wasn't going to be there again, so I probably wasn't paying attention, and I'd probably had a few Orangey booms by then. And
you were doing it drunk as well,
probably.
And he still paid you.
Yeah, I think out of sympathy, because he was normally quite friendly to me, but
when he saw the money he'd wasted on paint.
There were some choice four. I think I deserved them, but yeah, some choice four-letter expletives at me.
There's an awful moment, isn't there, when you know that you've made a mistake somewhere. Your heart sinks. You get that sinking feeling in your stomach. I remember once I'd done this job and it was all a bit of a rush thing. I was working at a studio and they said, oh, there's a client. They want to get this CD out for Christmas. They're going to hand it out to people. So can you put it together quickly? So we did the job, right? And I mastered the CD. I left it mastering while I went probably to get lunch or something. Came back, gave the CD. Now, nobody listened to the master CD that I should have done. I took full responsibility for the cock-up, but nobody else listened to it. So it went to the client. They didn't listen to it. They sent it off to the duplicators, had 1,000 CDs printed. And then a couple of days later, it came out and went, Trev, like halfway through, there's lots of outtakes of the voiceover. They're luckily saying nothing terrible. I mean, that was my fear. I went straight back and listened to everything because my fear was, because I knew the voiceover quite well and we used to have a joke and I just had this fear that the voiceover was going, this fucking client, what a right bunch of arseholes. luckily it was just him making mistakes and going back, and but I left it all in, and it was just that awful moment, and I felt terrible.
Oh, that, I mean, that's much more severe than mine. Mine only cost a couple of cans of paint and 30 quid. That's terrible.
Oh, it was awful. I just felt terrible.
Imagine if that error, I mean, you got lucky by the sounds of it, but how would you feel if he had been doing that and that cost him his career?
I don't think it would have cost him his career. It wasn't like a huge client in that sense, the voiceover. It wouldn't have cost him his career. He's a well-known voiceover. But it would have cost me, might have cost me my career.
Yeah. You know how sometimes in company with your friends, you can tell the odd joke you wouldn't normally tell to the general public? What if he'd been telling
like
you
a sexist joke that you wouldn't want to share on a podcast?
Something about the Germans football, women's football team,
Something you'd want to keep amongst you and your mate that you wouldn't want to broadcast to a handful of people.
That's why I haven't named him yet. But no, can you imagine if that had been like, oh man, that could have been like a career. I swear to God, that'd be awful. I mean, you should never say anything you don't want other people to hear in front of a microphone. You and I used to say appalling things to each other in that
studio. Know what? Like, everyone tells you that. When you start out anywhere near a microphone, some old sod will come in and say, my advice to you is never say anything in front of a microphone that you wouldn't want anyone else to hear, because you never know if it's going to be on or not. Nobody pays it. I've never known anyone pay attention to that rule.
Because
you get so comfortable around it, and then you do say some things. I mean, we once almost got badly caught out on community radio, and luckily we were drowned out by music.
Yes, I think that was it you, was it both of us dropping the C word left, right and centre?
That was awful. But we had to wait 24 hours before I could hear the recorded audio, so I spent sort of 24 hours worrying that both of us had said the C bomb and it had gone out. Luckily you just couldn't hear we got away with that one. I mean, it's an awful moment when you think you've been caught out, and I feel for Danny, because his heart must have sank when he realised that he'd spent the morning in the wrong house doing the job.
Oh, but I mean, it sounds like he might have scored a bit more work out of it.
Oh no, I think he might have to be going and decorating for free. I'm not sure if he's going to be paid for it. He just said, I've agreed to go and decorate. So I don't know whether that's just sort of as a bit of a, I messed up here. It got me thinking though, I was trying to think of like those, you have one job kind of scenarios, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't really think of many, apart from the cock-ups I've told you about that I made. I couldn't really think of any. I was trying to think of other things in my life where I've either seen it or heard it. And do you know what came to mind? And this might just sort of show how twisted and bitter I still am about it all these years on. But one person came to mind.
Go on.
Mr. Parker, my art teacher from school. I just thought you had one job, which was to teach me art, and you did fuck all. Absolutely fuck all. He was the worst teacher you could ever imagine. Now, I'm not saying that I'm any good at art. I was shit at it. But he taught me nothing about trying to be better. It was like if he was a singing teacher, you know, you'd go in, and this was for GCSE, so you got 2 years. So let's say you got 2 years of singing lessons, right? And you turn up and the teacher says on the first day, so give us a little song then. And you can't sing at all, right? Mm. I'd have hoped after the 2 years of singing lessons, I'd at least have some of the abilities or at least some of the techniques. I might not be great, but I'd like to think I might have some of the techniques.
Well, you've improved.
And I would think an art teacher's job is to do similar. And he did nothing. nothing at all, apart from actually telling me my work was crap. And I thought, well, there's you have one job, mate. One job, and you failed massively. You know, the clue's in his job title, teacher.
Yeah.
To be a teacher is to teach, and nothing. One job is all. Actually, he had two jobs because he had a sort of he had a little business on the side. And I swear, one lesson, he left us on our own, or maybe he got someone to oversee us because he had to go and do something for this other business. I thought, we're not really top of your priority list, are we? Let's face it.
Wow. Did no one report that?
No, not at the time. I wish I had. I wish I had of. Reported. I mean, he was pretty nasty to me until I did complain about him to my form tutor, and he stopped sort of being so nasty to me after that.
Fair enough.
I mean, he still didn't teach me anything, but at least he left me alone. I mean, did you have any teachers like that who, you know, just, I mean, our school, I think schools have changed so much where teachers actually teach now. I think that it's sort of built in to the education system that teachers in general teach. But in my day, there were very few teachers that taught us anything. It was such a waste of time than being there.
There was a couple of classes I had. Science seems to be the one I remember
right.
Quite especially shite, where we were in the lowest set. We had the regular teacher had, I think, inexplicably just disappeared, and we were left with some stand-in supply teacher every week.
Yeah.
She very quickly decided that we were just a lost cause, and it would just be 60 minutes of us just running amok, like chimpanzees in a, yeah. in a classroom, with her just sort of sitting there. I think at one point she might have even shed a tear of just despair. I think we just broke the poor woman.
I mean, we did that to our history teacher. We broke him. But I don't blame him for not teaching us in the end, because he gave up on us. There was a moment where you just saw him break, and he just thought, I'm not, like, what am I doing? Like, this guy was a proper historian. He should have been lecturing at a university. He's teaching people who don't give a shit. And we had the same in science, similar story. I was in the bottom set for science. And particularly when it came to the physics kind of bit, I mean, they just gave us anybody. Like, our normal teacher, he was on the, I think he was taken off teaching to come up with the timetable for next year. I mean, that might have been a reason. He just thought, fuck this lot. Tell them I'm doing the timetable. We just got anyone. Like, anyone they could find, just put an adult in the room. It doesn't care. Yeah. Like, unbelievable.
We were, again, history was a set I was quite low in. We did have a proper historian teacher, and he really loved it, but he loved it too much. And we abused that fact. So we'd have a syllabus.
Yeah.
We knew he was trying to teach us and engage us in whatever the syllabus said, but it would just take one kid to go, sir, tell us about Spitfires.
Right.
And then he'd get all excited and he'd just talk for 60 minutes and we just do what we wanted, pretending to listen.
Well, you weren't actually interested in Spitfires.
Not at all. Not at all. But we knew if we just said, tell us about Spitfires, that'd be 60 minutes of playtime while he yabbled on in the corner. I couldn't tell you a thing about Spitfires.
See, that would have interested me. The thing about history I found that made it so, and these days I find it more interesting, but I wanted to do history because it was all about the Second World War, and I thought we were going to hear stories of soldiers on the front line and Spitfires. I thought we'd hear all that sort of stuff, and it was basically about the politics of it. Now, of course, a war is mainly about politics, but I remember being really disappointed. It's like, we've got to learn about German foreign policy. Do you know what I mean? It's not as exciting as Spitfires, is it? I mean,
it's not the sexy side of war,
no,
is it?
I mean, if he would come in one day and he'd said, today, boys, we're going to learn about Spitfires, we're like, all right. Rather, he'd come in and go, today, boys, we're going to talk about German foreign policy. Oh, fuck off, mate. Come on. He was the same history teacher that we managed to always get an extra break from, because I'd had him in the year before GCSEs, and it spanned, the double lesson would span a 5-minute break where you were allowed back to your lockers to get your books for the final two lessons of the day normally, right? So he would always give us that 5-minute break. He'd go and get a cup of tea or whatever, right? So then when we had him for GCSE, those of us that had him in that year would go halfway through lesson, even though that lesson no longer straddled that 5-minute break, we'd go, sir, isn't it time for the 5-minute break? And he'd go, oh, yes. And he'd bugger off and get a cup of tea. And by the time he came back, we'd run amok. You know, there was chalk everywhere, putting chalkboards on the wall so they would fall off systematically throughout the second half of the lesson. I mean, it's no wonder he gave up on us. We basically bullied this poor man to a breakdown.
That's very much like, you know, my theory about the last sort of 5 minutes of the England-Germany game. It was just an exercise in time wasting my time at school.
Before we wrap up this week, Ben, I've got one other message that I received this week.
Oh, yeah.
And this was from our old mate, John. Now, do you remember last week we were talking about Hoovers?
Yeah, we had a very specific story about a Henry Hoover.
About Hoover.
And a vicar.
And I was saying to you that I've never come across a Hoover, domestically certainly, that had a blow.
Sorry. So deliberate childish. Choice of words, was it?
So childish. No wonder your teacher's had enough of you.
So you've never come across a Hoover, yeah?
Certainly not in the vestry. So I'm saying that I've never found a Hoover with a blow function on it.
Right.
They all suck.
Yes.
But I've not found one that blows.
Okay.
And John sent me one. He said, I've got a Hoover that... that has a blow function on it. Apparently, I can borrow it if I want to. I mean, it does look amazing, right? It's over 500 quid, this thing.
Ooh.
It's a mobile dust extractor from Cleantech. No advert for them. I'm just telling you the facts here. I mean, it looks pretty industrial. My fear of this particular Hoover, I'm not saying, John, that if I borrow it, it will be for legitimate sucking or blowing purposes within the household.
Yeah.
Because this looks a powerful beast. And I would suggest that if you were to consider anything similar to the vicar's practices with a Hoover, you'd be putting yourself at grave danger.
Because suck your intestines out.
These things, I don't think it would leave much of you. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, a few recommendations for you. I've got quite a few for you this week.
Okie doke.
I've got a film for all the family. It is summer holiday, so you might be looking for a nice film if you've got kids to have a watch. It was on Channel 4 last week, I think, so I don't know if it's on the catch-up, but it's called The Kid Who Would Be King.
Right.
Written and directed by Joe Cornish.
Oh, okay.
And it's sort of a kid in modern times who... he finds Excalibur and is able to get the sword out of the stones. It's kind of a modern retelling of that story. And it
sounds good.
It's daft, it's silly, it's a family-friendly movie. I just really enjoyed it. I wasn't expecting to enjoy it as much as I did. It was just a good, fun film. Not very long, about an hour and a half, about the right length, Ben.
Nice. That's perfect length.
Well worth a watch. The other film I watched this week, oh, Ben, I've been meaning to watch this film for some time. It's called The Father.
Right.
Now, I knew this would be good because Anthony Hopkins won the Best Actor Oscar for it.
Is it long?
you're writing this film off already.
No, but seriously, when you hear Anthony Hopkins in The Father, I mean, you're thinking 3.5 hours here.
It's 1 hour. I've just looked it up. This would include the credits, Ben, so you can probably lose at least 7 minutes from this. It says 1 hour, 37 minutes.
Fine. I take it back. It just sounded long, you know?
All right. So it's got Anthony Hopkins in it. It's also got Olivia Colman in it. Mark Gatiss is in it briefly. And it's Anthony Hopkins playing a man who's suffering badly with Alzheimer's, one would assume. And it's so brilliantly directed and made that you kind of... you're drawn into his confusion, the way it's made and cut, and he is just superb. But my God, Ben, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, I was in bits watching this film.
Sounds really, really bleak.
It's not a happy film, I'll tell you that, but it is so good. But I cannot put in words how good it was. But it's not going to make you feel, you know, I wouldn't make it the last film you watch before going to bed. You might want to watch it, then watch a bit of comedy to lighten the mood a little. It doesn't leave you with a happy feeling. Or it certainly didn't. I didn't find that. But it is superb. Very fine. Good. And the final thing I'm going to bring... Oh, no, not quite the final thing. I'm going to recommend a documentary that's also on Netflix, and it's called Spider's Web, Britain's Second Empire.
Right.
Just hang on for you.
Okay.
And it just talks about sort of the history of people putting their money offshore. Just shows the greed, the corruption, the evil that money breeds, Ben, and why it needs to change. It's just extraordinary. Honestly, Ben, the trillions of pounds that is out there that people aren't paying tax on, all of that stuff, Ben. I mean, it made me angry.
I bet it did.
But it's sounds a very like
you've gone
good.
Gone through a roller coaster of emotions with your recommendations.
You know from me by now that you will get a varied selection of stuff that I will tell you about. And oh, by the way, can I just tell you while we're talking documentaries? I watched the thing you recommended last week, The Chocolate Wars, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I started watching the wrong one to start with.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I don't want to, you know, I don't like to point out your mistakes. I mean, you have one job, Ben. Because I couldn't find it to start with, because you said it was called The Food That Built America. And I found
it is, isn't it?
Well, I found it under The Food That Built the World.
Oh, I might have cocked that up.
So anyway, I found it, and then I remember you saying about episode two, so I went to
Series two.
Well, yes, I went to a series one first, episode two, which talked about a chocolate war.
I didn't say series episode two.
No,
I said
you
series
didn't.
Two, episode one. You've got it backwards.
But I found the one you talked about, the whole Reese's Pieces thing.
Yeah.
And yes, it was interesting.
Did you enjoy? Because I initially thought that the sort of dramatic reenactments were a touch unnecessary.
Oh, a bit annoying at times.
I got
but,
quite into it, actually.
Yeah, I mean, the guy playing old Reese. Yeah. You know, you're rooting for him.
Yeah.
You know, when he had to do a runner when the people were after his money. Was that him? You're going, yes. Go on, mate, get out, run. So, no, that was very interesting. Anyway, the final thing I'm going to recommend is a podcast. I've recommended this podcast before, full disclosure, the James O'Brien podcast. But his latest episode, he's had Mick Lynch on, the RMT guy.
Oh, yes.
And I'm not going to get into all of that. That's for people to decide what they want to decide about, what they think about it all. But it's a fascinating listen, really interesting listen.
Well, speaking of podcasts that we've recommended before, and to go with your sort of linking to your Joe Cornish directed film, I'm going to recommend the Adam Buxton podcast. It's the last one of this batch, and his guest is Louis Theroux.
Louis Theroux.
And whenever he's had him on before, whenever he gets Louis Theroux on the podcast, it's always very good fun.
So, they're old mates, aren't they? They go back a long way.
They are. It's not, I wouldn't say it's the funniest one he's done with Louis Theroux, but right. It's always good. So that'd be my recommendation this week.
I'm just reading, I think you bought it for me a few years ago, and I've only got round to starting to read. I'm just reading the Louis Theroux book, Got to Get Through This.
Yes, I think he's done another book since.
Yes, and I think
he
has. Yes, no, that's right, but I'm reading this one. And yes, fascinating so far. I'm still at his early sort of school years, but it's a good read so far, Ben.
Good, glad to hear it.
So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.